Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. In many respects, we have a most unusual meditation for this morning. We have for our meditation one verse of Scripture that could well be, in many respects, the greatest verse in the Bible, because it's the summation of all that is and that is to come. I'm speaking of the 18th verse. I'm going to read that verse first. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now there are steps that lead up to that, making that the climax. And I'm reading from verse 11, wherein you will see the steps leading up to this climactic verse, the 18th. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in the ordinances, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that they might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. May the Lord bless the reading of that particular portion of his word. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The first thing we notice is that we have here the Trinity. Through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, unto the Father. And there we have God the Father. The thing of which I'll be speaking this morning has to do with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have there the Trinity mentioned. There are those who object to the doctrine of the Trinity on the ground that the word Trinity is not to be found in the Word of God. But the Trinity is found throughout the Word of God. In the very beginning, we have the word, in beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word gods there is in the plural, and in both the Hebrew and the Greek. We have three numbers. We have singular, which is one. We have dual, which is two. And we have plural, which is three or more. And gods is plural. There's three or more gods. Elohim is the plural. El is the singular. We read the baptism of our Lord. As he came up out of the water, the Spirit of God in the form of a dove came and rested upon him. And the voice from heaven spoke, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." There we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the interesting thing about this particular passage, where it mentions the Trinity, I want you to get this first. Not only is God the Father interested in and part of your salvation, but also God the Son is interested in and part of your salvation. God the Holy Spirit is also interested in and part of your salvation. It was God the Father who planned your salvation. God the Father planned my salvation. His eternal purpose. God Almighty's eternal purpose has to do with my salvation and with your salvation. God planned it. God developed the whole plan of salvation. That's God the Father. God the Son volunteered to work out our salvation. God the Son volunteered to accomplish our salvation. God the Son volunteered to pay the penalty, pay the price, and effect our salvation. God the Holy Spirit came in to be the initiator of our salvation. God planned it, the Son worked it out, and the Holy Spirit of God initiated it. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father except the Father draw him. No man turns to the Lord unless the Holy Spirit first begins that work within him." Now, God the Father planning our salvation, God the Son working out our salvation and accomplishing it, and the Holy Spirit making it real in us. We find all of that is to grant unto us access to the Father. Look at the word access. "For through him," that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, "we both, Jew and Gentile, have access." We're introduced to, we have an entree to God the Father. You recall the scripture account of the Garden of Eden, and how that God, in the cool of the day, walked with Adam and Eve. God talked with them. God communed with them. God fellowshipped with them in person in the Garden of Eden. But there came that moment when that fellowship was broken. Man excluded from the Garden of Eden. Now we read here in this verse of that fellowship being restored. Access to God. Access to God. Job cried out in his days and hours of agony and suffering and separation from God. "Oh, that I had a daysman, a goyel to stand between me and God. Oh, that I had somebody that could introduce me to God." We are introduced to God. We have access to God. The main purpose of our salvation is that we may get to know God as our Father. Access to God. On a few occasions, I've been asked to write letters of introduction for someone going to another city or applying for a position, a letter of introduction. Can you conceive of the incomparable privilege of you having access to God Almighty? You can enter into the presence of God and talk to God. That's access to God. We realize that there is a supreme being. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ know that God Almighty is that supreme being. And to think that we can talk to Him. There come those times when we feel a need of God. We feel a need of God. I get phone calls. I get letters, correspondence. Sometimes personal interviews, people wanting me to speak to my God for them. I talk to them, find they're Christians. He's their God. They have the same access that I have to God. Access to God. We don't value that. We have no concept of what it is to have access to God. The Creator, the Giver, the Sustainer, the goal of all that is, we have access to Him. We have access to God. We have an introduction to God. It's been some time now since royalty has kind of faded out of the mind of lots of people, but I can remember back in my high school days, one or two from our town had the privilege of being presented at Buckingham Palace, and oh, how they talked about that, and how the newspapers wrote it up, and how they gave interviews, and how they went around the country there, that particular area, telling about their access to the Queen of England, and entering into the Buckingham Palace as if it's something great. You and I have access to God Almighty. We have access to God. We can enter His presence and we can talk to Him. In our hour of need, we can ask Him for help. Access to God. Now, this question arises concerning this access. It gives us fellowship with God. Restoration of that fellowship which was lost in the Garden of Eden. For 400 years, from Zechariah or from Malachi to Matthew, the voice of no prophet was heard. No word from God. No contact with God. 400 years. And then there came one from God, John the Baptizer. And they flocked to him by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, because he brought them word from God. There is a God. And he's sovereign. And all things are moving toward him. And one day everything is going to be gathered together in him. Now, in the meantime, with this access to God, the question arises, how do I enter into His presence? Now, when the particular parties to which I referred a moment ago were being prepared for presentation at Buckingham Palace, certain decorum outlined, certain manners to be observed, certain dress to be worn, and certain procedures. Well, now, when we enter into the presence of God, it requires some thought. Some thought. I know people who drive 100 miles to see somebody running for a high office of the land. I've known people that went hundreds of miles to see one who was elected to the high office of the land. But their privilege of access to God counted as nothing. Now, how do we come into the presence of God? It's through prayer. Through prayer. Access to God is to talk to God. Through prayer. Prayer, priceless privilege and possession of every Christian. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is listening to God speak. Prayer is you speaking to God. Consider for a moment the unparalleled privilege and opportunity of talking to God Almighty. That privilege. Now, prayer involves preparation. We never think of preparation of prayer. In fact, we never pray until we have to. Somebody says, well, I'll tell you, that's awful bad. You better pray about that. Prayer is a last extremity for the majority of Christians and not reckoned a privilege. It's not reckoned a privilege. Well, I've got to pray today. I've got to pray. How many say, oh, I want an hour or two to spend with the Lord? To spend with the Lord. Now, the disciples noted something in the life of our Lord, which can be noted in your life and in my life if it's present. The disciples noted the relationship between our Lord's life of prayer and his life of power. They saw a relationship between prayer and power. And when he returned from a night in prayer, they said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Not only teach us to pray, but there's involved that teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. I said to an individual once, I wish you'd teach me to drive a car. Well, that's how to drive a car. A beginner in golf says, teach me to do this, or how to do this. You teach one to do something by teaching them how to do something. So, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Well, prayer is fellowship with God. This is a very personal question. I want no demonstration of hands. Have you actually, really, consciously, knowingly experience the presence of God while you prayed? Have you been conscious of the fact that God Almighty was there with you? And the awesomeness of the realization that God was present. Have you had that fellowship with God? Have you had that experience with God that you felt possibly like the Apostle Peter, who through ignorance cried out, oh Lord, how good it is to be here. Let's build three tabernacles. But there he was with the Lord, transfigured, transformed as the King of Kings. Oh, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. To know God and experience God is not a joy for most people. I wonder how many of you are here this morning because it's Sunday. I wonder how many of you said, well, we've got to get up, and we've got to get ready, and we've got to go to church. Well, why do you have to get up? Why do you have to get ready? Why do you have to go to church? a sense of duty. How many thought, oh, today, we're going to give today, or we're going to give part of the day, or we're going to give the greater portion of the day to fellowship with God, thinking about the Lord, talking with Him? Most people are afraid of God. They know Him as the judge. They don't know Him as Father. They don't know Him as one who loves them. They don't know Him as one who wants to pour out His all upon them and to them. To know God, to enjoy God, and to bring pleasure to Him. Now, Lord, teach us how to pray. The fact that they said, teach us to pray, shows that it requires some thought. It requires study. Not until you come to appreciate the fact that it's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have access to God the Father, are you in a position to learn how to pray. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. But it's not His life. It's not His teaching. It's not His example. And to differentiate still further, it's not just His death, it's His blood. We have been made nigh by His blood. And from the beginning of time until today, it's blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When the blood is sprinkled upon the altar, God accepted the sacrifice. We come to God Almighty through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no prayer to God by anyone who does not know, understand, and appreciate and plead the shed blood of Christ. There's no access to God. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one must know that. One must know that through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only must we know that He shed His blood for us, but we've got to remember and appreciate the fact that even now He has ascended to the right hand of God the Father, and there He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We've got to remember that not only did He die for our sins, but He's interceding for us now in heaven when we sin. Few Christians have any appreciation whatever the fact that God has died for their sins. I've been with people, earnest people, honest people in prayer, as we have prayed together about some critical situation that has arisen, and I've heard them say, oh Lord, Lord, if You'll provide me with work whereby I can provide for my family, then I'll quit doing this sin, and I'll quit doing that sin, not knowing that Christ has died for those sins. Lord, if You'll raise up this one from the bed of affliction, I'll go to church not only Sunday morning, but Sunday night and Wednesday night. Lord, if You'll hear my prayer and do this for me, I'll start tithing. Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. If You'll hear this and answer this, I'll read the Bible every day. The average Christian tries to sit down at the bargaining table with God and strike a bargain with Him. You don't do that. You come in through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a knowledge of and an acknowledgement of the fact that He has died for our sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's died for our sins. While I was yet in my sins, Christ died for me. Few Christians have any concept of forgiven sins. They want to chasten themselves. They want to punish themselves. They want to feel like they are appeasing God a little bit with something that they do. And they're not willing to accept the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as an atonement for their sins. Lord, teach us how to pray. It's not prayer. My mind takes me back to former pastors. I've seen fathers and mothers pour out their hearts. I've seen them wet the floor around where they were kneeling with their tears as they begged God to do this and to do that, and said, Lord, if you'll do that, I'll do this. Or, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll quit this, and I'll quit that. If you'll do this, and if you'll do that. That isn't prayer. That isn't communion with God. That isn't a child talking to the Father. You who are parents, you know what it is to have a child hurt, a child in need, just come a running and have you say, oh, Daddy, or oh, Mother, there's no bargaining. If you have a love in your heart for them. Prayer. Lord, teach us how to pray. Now, we've got to have a knowledge that Christ shed His blood for our sins. We've got to remember that He's interceding for us in heaven today. Therefore, we know that care has been provided for our sins. So we come boldly. We don't think of our sins. We think of His love. And so we go to the Lord and we talk to Him and we commune with Him and we fellowship with Him. We don't add anything to the blood. We don't add anyone to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is abroad in the land a heresy that certain individuals who have died are so holy that part of their holiness can be credited to our account, but not so. Neither the man nor the woman has ever lived that has any holiness that can be credited to our account. The only righteousness that can be credited to our account is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and His alone. There are those sometimes who think that posture magnifies the prayer. There are some who think if they can get everybody on their knees, that that's going to gain special favor with God. There are some who prostrate themselves in the dust, thinking that that gains added favor. But I have found the Scripture goes along this line. Any posture in prayer of which we are conscious is wrong. We're not conscious of posture. The Old Testament saints prayed while they walked. They prayed while they lay on the bed. They prayed some on their knees. Some of them lay prostrate in the dust. It's as the Spirit moves them at that particular time, but there's no virtue attached to any of those. Communion with God. You know how communion is with your beloved father or mother. You commune as you walk. You commune as you sit. You commune as you lie on the bed. Any of that way. It's not the posture, and it's not somebody else to help you. Now, sometimes we think we need somebody to help us. Somebody says, well, I know your prayers are heard and mine aren't. Well, how do you know their prayers are and yours aren't? You've made yourself a judge of someone. You judge them possibly better than you when the chances are you may be better than them. That's not the basis of prayer, not our goodness. Not our goodness. We come to Him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we have access to God, and that access comes through prayer. Do you enjoy prayer? Do you look forward to a period of prayer? I've had some people say to me after a tragic occurrence in their life, they say, well, Brother Wilson, that's proven to be a blessing, said I learned to pray a little in this experience, and I had foregone praying for some time. You've got company coming. You know they're coming. You make preparation for them. You're going somewhere to visit someone. You make preparation for that. Do the same for your fellowship and communion with God. Do the same for that. Now, we have access to God through prayer. Through prayer. Do you love to visit friends and loved ones? Do you love to just sit down and commune with them? Talk? In the days before telephone, television, radio, we look forward to visiting with friends and with relatives, and then we catch up on all the news of all the other folks. Nowadays, everybody knows everything, and the visiting is not like it used to be. But think of visiting with God. Think of visiting with God the Father. I'm thinking of a little boy one day, said, Mama, I'm going to go see Jesus. And she, knowing about that, said, well, wait a minute. You may be there all day. Let me fix you a little lunch. She fixed him a little lunch, some loaves and fishes. He was going to see Jesus. He looked forward to it. He went and spent the day with Jesus. Zacchaeus climbed up a tree to look out where he could see Jesus. There were those from Greece, traveled hundreds of miles just to see Jesus. They came from points around the world just to see Jesus. You and I have that priceless privilege of access to God. We don't treasure it. It's not priceless. We don't care. We just pass it by. Give me the paper. Give me the TV. Let's get in the car. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's go, go, go. You'd be looked upon as someone strictly beside themselves. You said, let's stay at home and have fellowship with God this morning. Let's stay at home this evening and let's talk with God. Access to God. Now, how can we talk to God and how can He talk to us? He has spoken to us in His Word. There are people today meeting in midnight hours under all kinds of circumstances and conditions, trying to hold seances, trying to establish contact with the other world, wanting to know something about the future, wanting to hear a voice from God. In the first verse of the first chapter of Hebrews, we are told that God has, past tense, God has spoken. He's spoken. He's told you everything He wants you to know, and it's in here. You don't get it by sitting under a light in a chair in the middle of the room while all around others are standing and gazing and watching. You don't get it waiting for a vision or waiting to be awakened in the middle of the night with Jesus coming into your room and talking to you. He has spoken to us here. Here. Now, you want access to God. You want to enter His presence. You want to talk. Sit down with His letter. I've got some friends that hesitate to write a letter because they don't pay much attention to what I write. They try to read what's between the lines. They say, oh, I know what it said, but that's not what he meant. Let's see what he meant when he said this. Well, listen, beloved. Now, God has said what He means here. And you don't have to read between the lines. You just read the lines. You read the lines. Have you ever felt, as you read this book, prayerfully, slowly, have you ever felt, oh, thank you, Father, He spoke to me in this passage. Have you ever heard His voice come to you? You haven't read this book then. You haven't meditated upon it. You haven't prayed. You haven't had communion with God. And there'll come those moments. There are Bibles in existence with little brown stains on them. where, as some dear old saint of God talked with God and God talked with them, a tear dropped here and another one dropped there as they felt the presence of the Lord. They felt His presence. But you've got to cultivate it. You've got to practice it. You've got to work on it. No, we don't. Well, I read the Bible 15 minutes every day. I haven't missed for 25 years. And if I hold out for 50, I'm going to get a blue pen. That's not fellowship with God. That's not fellowship with God. We find ourselves involved in trouble, and then we call upon God. We don't do it according to knowledge. We don't do it according to His Word. Now, look what we have. This 18th verse. For through Him, through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood, through His shed blood, both Jew and Gentile. There was a day when Gentile couldn't approach God. There was a day when your forebears and my forebears couldn't contact God. There was a day when they knew not God. God knew them not. But now, both Jew and Gentile have access to God. And that access is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. And then that access comes to us through prayer. Through prayer. There was that great man of God who spent much time in prayer every day. And when he had a very busy day, instead of saying, I'll have to curtail my prayer today because I'm so busy, he would say, I have to spend more time today in prayer because of the added task I have to do. Fellowship with God. Talking to God. Have you ever asked God for something and He gave it to you? I'm a father, and I know a little bit about the response of a father. And I know that God is my father. And by the analogy between my experience and His, I know a little bit about the heart of the father. Both of my girls went to college about 1,000 miles away. Sometimes the phone would ring, and over the wires would come, Daddy! They could have anything for which they asked. Father! He'll give us anything we ask. But we've got to come to Him through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to come to Him according to knowledge. We come to Him through His Word. Now, one other word. One other word. It's by one Spirit. Now, there's no such thing as prayer to God apart from the Holy Spirit of God. We're living in a day in which the person and work, so-called gifts of the Holy Spirit, are being magnified. The work of Christ and God the Father minimized. Many circles absolutely rejected. Christ came to make the Father real. The Holy Spirit came to make Jesus Christ real. And when one is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they're not hunting snakes and deadly poison or running to the hospitals to heal everybody. When the Holy Spirit fills a Christian, they rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't rejoice in the Holy Spirit. They're not conscious of His presence. They're conscious only of Jesus the Christ. Now, this access to God is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as The Holy Spirit helps us. There's no prayer to God the Father. There's no communion with God the Father. There's no fellowship with God the Father apart from the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of our need of the Father. Why do I want to pray? Because of a need. What is the most prevalent need? The forgiveness of my sins. The forgiveness of my sins. Peace of mind, peace of heart. How many people go to someone for help today and their trouble is lack of peace and they want peace and they're given a prescription for tranquilizers. Now, take two tonight and one in the morning and call me and tell me how you feel. Take two tonight and one in the morning and they call and say, I feel better. That's just fine. Take two more tonight. And just keep on taking them. You'll keep on feeling good. No, no. The feeling that honors and glorifies the Lord, the feeling that thrills us, is that feeling of the forgiveness of sins by God the Father. The one thing that distresses, the one thing that disrupts, the one thing that robs us of any peace, any joy, any happiness, is the conscious presence of sin. Sin, sin. How oft do we cry out with the Apostle Paul, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, that I might overcome this sin, that I might overcome that. It's only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we need help. We need help. So we read in the Word of God, in nothing be anxious, but in everything with praise and with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall be a garrison to protect and keep your heart, your soul, your whole being in God Almighty. Now the Holy Spirit makes us to realize our need. The Holy Spirit then gives utterance to the desires of our heart. The Holy Spirit makes known to God the innermost being and the innermost desires and hopes, and then we have that fellowship with God. We have access to God. Would you enjoy a visit with the head of this country, the head of that country? Would you enjoy a visit with the dignitary from here or one from yonder? What about sitting down with God as Father? Sitting down with God as Father. Now, Father, just talk to Him. Look, there was a time without God, without hope, we had nothing. But now, we have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let me feel Thy presence. Lord, let me know of a certainty that Thou art real. Lord, let me know that You hear me. Let me know that You care. Lord, I'm casting myself upon it. Beloved, that's what it's all about. To know God as our Father. Lord God Almighty, look upon us this morning in tenderness and in mercy. Father, Thou knowest. Down deep in our hearts, we believe in Thee. We know thou art real. And we know that prayer is real. And we know the prayer is a present experience if we can but attain it. Lord, we cry out as did the apostles. Teach us to pray. Lord, grant that we may have an experience of thy presence. Really know that thou art with us, that thou appearest. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.